Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of That Podcast. Enjoy the show.
Well,
yes.
What else are we talking about
today? I brought some stuff to share a little bit about. One of them is I want to talk about our new summer sermon series book read-along.
Yeah.
And if you go to atonement.live, we still have a link on there to order this book, right? Mm-hmm. During the summer, we have a sermon series that's really aimed at youth and families with teenagers.
Yep.
And the book is called 10 Questions. 10 Questions Every Teen Should Ask and Answer About Christianity. But really, as Dana rightly pointed out, if you go to atonement.live or to YouTube and look at any of the sermons that are online, I think you changed it to 10 things everyone should ask and answer. That was you. I'm giving credit where credit is due. She's looking at me like, what did I do?
Yeah. No, I think so too. I agree with that.
Yeah. So what's great about this book, it's from Rebecca McLaughlin. I don't even know if I'm saying that right. How do you say this? McLaughlin?
I don't know. Is that Sarah's sister?
Is it one of those words where UGH makes a sound rather than a McLaughlin?
McLaughlin? Yeah.
That's Sarah McLaughlin's sister.
One became a writer, one became a singer on all those ASPCA commercials.
I don't know if that's true or not.
I think her name is McLaughlin with a CH. But GH, McLaughlin.
Anyways, whatever.
Anyway, and we've had other sermon series based on books that she's written. In fact, the pre-book that is much thicker than this one. This is a shorter read, and this is updated from that one, was called Confronting Christianity, which was like the best book to download for 2020. Like a lot of people read it. And the reason why I think it's a really good time to have this book is because there seems to be like a shifting in our culture that's been happening. And it's now 2025, so we're a quarter into the 21st century, and it's almost like we're coming out of this misty haze. Mm-hmm. Of nihilism. For those playing the home game, nihilism, or nihilism as it's pronounced, is this philosophy or worldview that nothing matters, that all there is all that you can see. There is no meaning, there is no purpose, there is no life after death, there is no God, there is no heaven, there is no hell, yada, yada, yada. It became a big thing in the 2010s and was, I guess, kind of promoted culturally by a handful of writers that became known as like the four horsemen of new atheism. You had a guy named Christopher Hitchens, Richard Dawkins, I'm blanking on the other two. There was more than two. There was like five of them. I think there was a guy named Denton, Ayaan Hirsi Ali, who's a very famous thinker.
Okay.
Has just recently converted to Christianity.
Okay.
But she was in that same boat. And a lot of it was kind of a response of the entire world to the events of 2001 and the idea that religion is toxic and makes people do toxic things. It's kind of a response to the extreme Muslim radical Islam, the wars that broke out, all that stuff. But also this idea that now that we're in the 21st century, we're finally going to become enlightened. We're going to leave the old things behind of religion and God and so on. And we're truly going to be an enlightened culture, and we'll just keep getting more technologically advanced. And before you know it, utopia will break out. Mm-hmm. Well, we've had a quarter century of this kind of thinking, 25 years. And what we've discovered,
people certainly seem to be happier.
Oh, they sure do. Don't they? Oh, happiness is run amok. It's so sick. I'm so tired of smiling all the time. No, what's actually happened is the inverse of that when what we end up having is an epidemic in meaning. Mm-hmm. No one knows what their meaning is. And so if you don't have anything to rely on and to give you purpose, the top topic or the way we talk about it is find your own truth. Look inside yourself and discover who you really are. That has turned out to be a worldview that's been found wanting. Mm-hmm. And you have a whole generation specifically of young men who don't know how to be men. And I don't mean that to be like stereotypical, like toxic masculinity. What I mean is that there's also been like a generation of boys who've not had father figures in their home to show them how to be a good man.
Yeah.
And so as a culture, we don't know what that means. There's more of a sense of being a woman and celebrating what womanhood means, even though we don't even really understand what that means either. So there's this whole loss of meaning. So find your meaning inside of yourself. And so the questions that she raises, these 10 questions, are not questions that Rebecca McLaughlin comes up with, but questions that she says the church needs to be able to answer these and does have answers to these, because what has been said about the church and about Christianity are straw men. And she gives all kinds of examples. So I just want to go through these 10 questions and ask you guys about these questions and your thoughts on them. And join us this summer in worship. Join us online or just come to Atonement, 9 and 10:30.
Yeah.
If you're a lake person, take us with you to the lake.
Yeah. If you miss one, you can go back and watch it later.
On your laptop. Yeah, they're all going to be online. And these are 10 great questions that having two teenagers, one who's no longer a teenager, but having had two teenagers, these are the questions that had come up often indirectly in my own home. So here we are. And tell me if these questions resonate with you, because I think they're questions that everyone asks and wonders about. Big one, how can I live my best life now? What does the best life look like?
Do you think Super Bowl win?
The Broncos in the Super Bowl, baby.
Personally, or?
But I mean, yeah. You know, when you think about your own life,
whatever that boat Luda had on TikTok.
Well, I feel like that's a good question though, because especially I think of like so much Christianity is around like what is after your life that is going to be so great.
Yeah. Well, let me rephrase that. Now? Rather than making it personal to you. Just tell me what you think the culture says to answer that question. How can I live my best life now? What do people seek after? What do people think gives their life value?
Depends on the person.
Money.
Happiness.
Success.
Yep.
Celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, gosh, it seems like there's more and more influencers on TikTok than...
Everybody's one.
Yeah.
Just ask them.
If you're not, you're not doing it. Yep. You're doing it wrong, right? Mm-hmm.
Things.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. So how can you live your best life now? I think people would love to have an answer to that. And the church has an answer to that.
Mm-hmm.
And it is very countercultural. It's almost like being a Christian is now countercultural. Yeah. And there is a shift of a returning in the West, at least. I mean, faith has exploded in Africa and Asia over the last 25 years. But there's like this shift that's happening because this nihilistic worldview, this materialistic worldview that all there is matter and we're all just atoms and that's it, really hasn't been satisfying for people. So after we talk about that, we're going to talk about, isn't Christianity against diversity? So what's diversity? Any thoughts?
Different.
Diversity, that's a good thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
People who aren't all the same, right?
Right.
Is Christianity against that?
No.
No. Well, you're a Christian, so of course you're going to say that. Do you think the culture thinks that?
Yes.
What do you think that the culture thinks about Christianity when it comes to diversity?
I think American culture.
Yeah.
Because that's the big thing of like right now, we have two different types of Christian in America. And so, but people don't really think about it as being two different. It's just, you're all the same, but the one side is the winning side of like, if.
I would also say too, like that there's, especially.
You actually had three worldviews there.
Yeah.
You just said one type of Christian, another type of Christian, and then everybody else looking at and discerning what is Christianity and whatever the dominant view of Christianity is what they see.
Yeah.
And what would you say is the, can you flesh it out a little bit more? Like, what are the two different Christianities?
Basically MAGA Christianity and then just like Christians. Like
okay.
Being a Trump supporter and using Christianity as a way to justify that.
The weaponized
of like.
So Christianity being tied specifically to Donald Trump and or right-wing politics.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
And then. But because they're so loud and they have their opinions, no one looks at the Christians as being anything other than that.
Separate from that.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think sometimes two people's understanding of like, right, if you were to say like, even if you put into ChatGPT, like, give me a picture of a Catholic church, you'd probably see a mostly white congregation there, or even a Lutheran church, you're probably going to see a mostly white. If you put Baptist or Southern Baptist, you're probably going to see a mostly black congregation there. And I think that's sometimes what both as Christians and as non-Christians probably see is that similar congregation effect of everybody looks like you rather than that more diverse culture within your congregation as well.
Yeah. So it's almost like it's siloed.
Yeah.
If you're this ethnicity, then this is the type
this is
of,
the one for you. If you're this, here's your way for you.
Okay. Good.
And I don't know if that's necessarily like a bad thing either, because a lot of it reflects just like neighborhoods, right?
Absolutely.
Like churches in Chinatown. I mean, that's obviously going to be one way.
Right.
You know, in the South, you can get a little bit more diverse, but like when you're looking at like North Dakota, is it really going to be that diverse to begin with?
Right.
Because it's reflecting the population that it's in.
Population, yeah. Here.
But also, that's the thing, is that like draws to like, so you will naturally split yourself anyway.
So let's say that, and I guess my question, I think you already answered it, is when the world looks at the, for lack of a better term, the stratification of churches, what impression does that give? That Christianity is against diversity? Because everyone's in their own little silos?
I think it's almost that it's still a bit of like segregation. Because, right, like every church is going to say...
That's a better word than stratified.
Yeah. But like, right, you're still going to have every church, right? We're come off the street, blah, blah, blah. But reflecting personally, is that how people who are in your church are going to treat, like, right, your website, your whatever your messaging can be, we're going to welcome you off the street, we don't care where you come from, blah, blah, blah. But if your congregation doesn't reflect that, and that can be even just down to people who look different than them.
Right.
Could part of that be perception on the person, on the other person's, like the person who would be approaching that church? Could that be just what they're thinking they're thinking? Like,
I'm just thinking
how many of us go to PHCG down here?
True.
Right.
And why not? Mm-hmm. They're more than welcoming.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Right.
You know?
Well, and vice versa.
Yeah, right.
You know,
yeah.
And that gets to a bigger question of why. And I think the purpose of this book is to speak against false impressions or unfair impressions about Christianity, but also to answer questions that people have regardless of Christianity, just life questions. And I think this is speaking into it because it's saying, you know, everyone has these questions or these concerns. Here's what Christianity offers with that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, the very first one, how can I live my best life now? I have a very specific answer for that. And I think it's an answer that is backed up by the best science that there is.
Do we have to wait for Sunday?
You have to wait for Sunday. I'm really gilding the lily here right now.
Now you have to link this after the fact, too.
Since this episode is coming out
DJ
after the fact.
DJ found the fountain of youth. That's why he's a little wishy-washy on this whole Noah's Ark thing.
No, there is evidence that people just don't know about what Christianity offers that will allow you to live your best life now. And there's also assumptions about what will make me happy.
Well,
and what you think makes you happy at 15, 16, 17, 18, 19 is not actually what will make you happy.
Right.
It's like, it's like the great, as I quote him all the time, but the great prophet, Biggie Smalls. More money, more problems.
Yep.
You heard me?
We actually just brought that up the other day, the great prophet.
Yes.
Biggie Smalls, Eli and I did.
Of course. About what?
Of course.
About more money, more problems.
More money, more problems.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, and I was going to say really quick too with this, some of the things that we're talking about here is the hard part of Christianity versus church, because the church is people and people are sinners, and we're going to forever get it wrong.
Yes. And I feel like a lot of these questions, because I know what they are, are like a lot of the preconceived like moral superiority that people think Christians have of like, I am a Christian. I am de facto better than anything else.
Right. I'm already steps ahead because like, thanks Jesus, he got me fast passed.
Well, anybody cannot be better than me who believes like that sort of thing. I feel like relates to it of like any of those questions of like, well, what about this? Does Christians?
And you're right. Because like, the new atheist movement, post 2000 was a building up and kind of a cultural strike against false Christianity, smug belief, but also because Christianity wasn't the cause of 2001, but other belief systems, everything being put together, right? And so what you say is absolutely true. And the hypocrisy within the church is always going to be that piece that the church needs to be humble by, to, you know, because the church as a whole, you know, broken sinners in this world have not been white, you know, without error within their history as well. But I think that the last 25 years has brought a realization that, wait a minute, what we've been railing against as a culture is not actually what Jesus is about or what the Bible is about. So I almost think there's like this cultural sifting that is happening where Christianity is not defined by Southern Baptist or Catholic or Lutheran or da-da-da-da or the different silos, the denominations, which even in themselves have silos within themselves. But that there's almost like a redefining that Christianity means following Jesus, and it has some presuppositions to it, such as to be a Christian means that I believe that the Bible is true. To be a Christian means that I believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and that he is the way, the truth, and the life for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe that he died on the cross, and because he died on the cross, even though I'm broken and I'm a sinner, I'm reconciled to God through faith in Jesus, and only through faith in Jesus, not because of anything that I've done or failed to do, because in this life I'm still not perfect by any means. I'm still a sinner, and I need a Savior. And that I believe that Jesus Christ will come again to judge, you know, we use the language judge the living and the dead, but that he'll come again and set everything right.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is that this old way of life, this sin, death, the devil, suffering, all the stuff that even the new atheists really railed against, because the underlying question that drives everything is always the question of suffering. Mm-hmm. And the question of, can God be good or great? I've been listening to Christopher Hitchens debate the great John Lennox, who I loved to death. John Lennox is my hero.
Is that Annie's dad?
He's probably not. But
I don't Google it. Watch him be right, though, if he does.
John Lennox is 80-something years old. And you guys know who Christopher Hitchens is, right?
No.
Okay. He passed away, but he wrote this book called God Is Not Great, how religion poisons everything. Mm. And he was like this.
You talked about him before?
I've talked about him and Richard Dawkins, because those are the ones that I know.
I was like,
well,
you just said all that? I was like, deja vu.
Sounds familiar.
And if you read the first chapter, he shows up in the first
chapter. Oh, okay, maybe that's what it is.
Anyway, he was really well known in his time, but he got sick with cancer and he ended up dying. And when he was dying, he didn't turn back on anything that he said, but he was thankful for the Christians that cared for him and prayed for him and loved on him when he was as sick as he was. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he was kind of a driving intellectual voice during the time where the culture was like, yeah, you know, and very aggressive toward any form of Christianity in the West. I'm talking Europe and the United States and so on. And this is, we're experiencing kind of the end of this through the first quarter of the century, the 21st century.
You gotta stop saying that.
Is that confusing?
It's just, no, they just don't like it being a quarter century.
I just think 25 years ago is like the 90s.
Yeah.
And 80s. So everything that I'm talking about, you guys really have no idea what it was like before that.
No.
You have no idea what the culture was like before that. Whereas we do, us old timers from the 20th century.
Yeah. good old days.
The last third, fourth, last quarter of 20th century.
That was a long time ago.
I can't do it.
That was a long time ago, DJ. Sarah, what's the problem?
Do not make me get you like a pop filter on that mic. I will. I'll buy one.
But along with this is an understanding that there was an understanding of faith and God prior to 9/11. Mm. That puts a different spin on things. Mm. Anyway, okay. So the next question, after isn't Christianity against diversity? I touched on this a little bit from a Christian worldview. My point being those points that I made is that if you believe that, regardless of what denomination you're from, if you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, the Bible is true, that he will come again, then we're fine. We're on the same page. We're going to disagree on other things, but that's the heart of the faith, and mm-hmm. that's what mm-hmm. needs to be conveyed mm-hmm. to the world. So this next one is, can Jesus be true for you but not for me?
Mm.
And this is one of those points with Christians, like, how would Christians respond to that? Because, you know, I think there is this idea that the church, and often what I hear about when people talk about Christianity, so that's not my kind of Christianity. Mm-hmm. I don't see what you see.
Yeah. Jesus was a libertarian.
But the popular idea that you know, if Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and mm-hmm. no one comes to salvation except through him,
right.
Well, that's pretty mean to everybody else who's not a Christian. Mm-hmm. It's a question of justice, I think.
Yeah.
Mm. And how do you reconcile that? What do you guys think of the question? I mean, what does the world say? Can Jesus be true for some people but not for other people?
Well,
there different people's Jesus.
Yeah.
Is
yeah.
different. That's mm-hmm. Jesus.
I was like, that's another thing too.
Jesus was a socialist. We had a whole episode. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
We had a whole episode on this.
We've become like the Simpsons. We've done every episode.
Yep. Touched yeah. on every trend now. Yeah. Well, I was thinking initially somewhat yes, because right, there's other religions in the world that, granted, not everybody's going to be a Christian one day. There's going to be other religions. There's going to be people who are Jewish, yada, 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 yada.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So technically no.
Well, and so, you know, if the answer is yes, what does that then mean? Or if it's no, what does that then mean? If the answer is no, that Jesus cannot be true for me and yet not true for you, what does that mean? If the answer is yes, that Jesus can be true for me but not for you, what does that mean?
See, I didn't like that question.
See,
that
I think it's your understand, like...
It's a question of truth.
Yeah. Yeah. It's in my Jesus, he wears his tuxedo t-shirt and he's a very kind Jesus and it's sunshine and rainbows and everybody gets to heaven in my version of Jesus. But well, that's just because I imagine he's a very caring guy.
That's actually tied really closely to the traditional witness of Jesus in that it's an exclusive claim that mm-hmm. is absolutely inclusive. But it doesn't change the fact that Jesus is the truth. That mm-hmm. The Muslim is not getting into heaven. The Hindu is not getting into heaven outside of and separate from the work of Jesus on the cross. Now, how you understand that, people will quibble about that, you know, you get to heaven and it's Jesus there. You're going to be like,
wait a minute.
I don't want to be here. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. that's where people, it gets kind of nuanced. Mm-hmm. But what Christianity does not say to be Christianity is that Jesus, Muhammad, Joseph Smith, Oprah, that they're all, we're not saying they're all the same and therefore collapsing mm-hmm. them into each other, because that's also not
no.
honorable to other belief systems mm-hmm. that there's right. a very well, real, yeah. yeah. In the issue with Christianity is that Christianity compared to every other religion, really the heart of the matter is Jesus. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. to be true, for everybody, as a Christian means that Jesus has to be taken out of the picture completely. Mm-hmm. Are you following what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yep.
So, cause then it's just generic God
yeah.
and however you want to define mm-hmm. that. So then it becomes a question of, and we'll get into this, can Jesus be true for you, but not for me? And how do you answer that?
I don't have an answer. Yeah. I had a good answer and then I lost it. Cause I think it's the like, I was thinking of it originally of like, right, there's three sides to every story, your side, my side, and the truth.
And the truth, yeah.
So it's like, you know, your understanding of, right, if I was talking to somebody who's Muslim, right, I hope your belief system brings you to peace and faith, truth, light, whatever that may be.
Yeah.
Mine brings me that. And when we get to the end, we'll get there, and that'll be the truth, the third side of it.
Well, yeah, and I guess kind of a worldview thing is that all roads lead to heaven.
Yeah.
They led to Rome.
That's probably where they got it. Mm-hmm. It started with the Romans. And that actually is, that's very, mm-hmm. That's an excellent point. Because that was actually the Roman worldview.
Everything's going to lead there.
More the merrier. Mm-hmm. All religions. It's all good. Mm-hmm. It's all good. Just make sure you pay your taxes to Rome and we'll be fine. And with Christianity, often Christianity gets confused with ethnicity or nationality or so mm-hmm. on. And Christianity does not mean the United States, just as much as Islam does not mean Iran.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that's the question to wrestle with there. Number four is, can't we just be good without God?
Oh,
what do you think?
That's a good one.
Christopher Hitchens argues, yes, you can.
That you can.
Yeah.
It's hard to think about that one. Because I am Christian. It's like, I don't know how to think the other way.
My question was always, if there's no God and this is all that there is, then what would be the point of being good?
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I guess I'm apparently just I'm very much in the hereafter thought of it all, but I was like, I think without God, you really want your eternity to be in some form of a box, probably in the ground, being worm food.
But like,
you're
don't
good
even
with that.
Yeah,
like
because
that's
to,
it. You don't want
most?
You don't want to like. That's your end result. Like you're, mm-hmm. you can do whatever you want because at the end of the day, that's just what happens, mm-hmm. and you're cool with that.
To talk to people who are nihilistic, which is atheism, secular humanism, take God mm-hmm. out of the picture. You stop existing.
Yeah. A lot of mm-hmm. them are just like, well, everything goes black and it's done.
It's just
so whatever happens after, not
it's
my problem.
The way it was before you were born.
Yeah.
Not everybody has anxiety and it shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But
what do you mean you don't think about that? You don't
constantly.
Well,
the sleep paralysis demon doesn't get you.
I would argue that much of
Eli.
Much of the anxiety of our constant, just like you said at the beginning, everyone's so happy. No one is happy.
Yeah.
No.
Everyone is stressed out. Everyone is anxious because there is no meaning to anything.
Right.
And if there's no meaning, you can be as brave and put on the best faces you can. You can put everything on Facebook showing you living the best life. But there's always that question that the denial of death and reality that I'm coming to an end.
Well, I think it's ironic for me, and I don't know if irony is the right word there, but like, right, the whole, well, I can do whatever I want, so that's why I'm going to be a good person. Mm-hmm. Like, that to me is the part that doesn't make sense, because it's like, well, I have morals that taught me to be a good person.
Right.
It's like, well, but why do you have those morals? What's that rooted in? Like,
exactly.
Getting back to the root of it, I don't think fully connects the dots for the people who think that way.
And that is the big realization that's hitting people, especially people who are not religious, but are have been watching the trend of the culture.
Mm-hmm.
That even if you're not religious, get religion because it's good for you.
Yeah. It's
it actually makes you better.
Yeah.
It makes you a better person mm-hmm. and it makes you happier.
Yeah.
And that's so counterproductive to our culture. So.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of That Podcast. Don't forget that you can find us every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30, either here at Atonement, 4601 South University Drive in Fargo, or online at atonement.live or atonementfargo.org. We also have a YouTube channel where you can find our services live or a wide variety of resources. Again, that's YouTube, atonement.live, or atonementfargo.org. So for all of us here at Atonement, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time for another riveting episode of That Podcast.